Recording in progress.
Okay, so that sounded dangerously close to something like a Kermit the Frog
it's scenario. Not easy being green.
That is. Have you had a legitimate Kermit in your back pocket this whole time?
Yeah, and I was waiting for the right moment to reveal it.
To dazzle your enemies with it?
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a good opportunity to tell you I'm quitting Penny Arcade.
And I'm going to Kermit the Frog.
Well, no, I'm taking my Kermit the Frog impression on the road. I mean, I don't know what that means yet.
I mean, all we can say for certain, Michael, is that roads are involved.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I ever since you told me it was good, I've known that I had this talent. And so I've just decided to venture forth and really investigate it.
Do you mean like 30 seconds ago?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, here, you know what? Then this is a time to celebrate. I mean, obviously, it's a time of great sadness.
Also, but, let's do one more podcast.
You know what? I was just going to, let's just put another one, just like tuck it in, just put this thing to bed, but let's go out on a high note.
Yeah.
Gathered throng, it is I, your internet friend, Jeffrey K. Horcrims. I am joined by my best friend, Mike Krahulik, and we are going to enact the ancient protocol.
Protocol 66.
The PYFT, or no, that's I think that's Michael Jackson. This is PFYT, Penny for Your Thoughts. It's an incredible product where we look at our most ancient comics at your direct request, you know, there to, you know, illuminate their origins, perhaps. But I will tell you that the new Penny Arcade Roulette feature.
Oh my God, the comic remix?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of panels that I certainly don't remember. Now, obviously, longtime fans of this show will know that it often takes us a second to remember a specific one, but some of these panels come out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah, I like the idea that eventually you should be able to click on a panel and it take you to that.
Oh,
the comic it was drawn from.
Yep. And I dropped that a couple days ago. I dropped that on Buland, and it'll be easy. There's like, you know, if you're like a super dork, there's like tricksy ways to get at some of it now, but the system knows where all the panels are originally from.
And oh yeah,
I mean, I think people are going to spend a long time just trying to figure. It's like where the what comic could possibly
have made
that panel?
Yeah, I saw someone today who had the first two panels from the same strip.
Yeah, mathematically, that is very, very unlikely.
Yeah, and even the ones where it's like every panel is about Star Wars, how?
I would say there's some troubling stuff in there. But you know, my fantasy, obviously, is that my fantasy is that we'll be able to, obviously, and I think I'm just speaking for everyone here. I'm just saying what needs to be.
That was a ludicrous song. I wasn't just like being weird.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It was sort of a bizarre song. I mean, I agree with you. But what I'm saying is that obviously we have a lot of metadata now attached to these strips.
Yep.
What if these types of metadata grant certain effects, you know, to individual panels? You know, now we're playing a game. We're making comics.
Now we're playing with power.
Ostensibly.
Yeah.
But now we're making comics competitively, Michael.
If they could somehow have a point value at the end of it, yeah.
Well, exactly. But that's the best part, is that in addition to all the specific metadata we have, like, because they're being sliced up by this algorithm, like, each of these things is stuffed. It's like fucking Monster Rancher.
Remember? Exactly.
Like, it's able to pull, like, just off of, like, total track length, track numbers. You know, in some cases, specific albums. Obviously, it's generating powerful beasts, and that's all I'm saying is that beasts are welcome.
And then we make every one of those an NFT.
An MFT. No, the whole thing.
We buy an island that is also a boat,
and an NFT.
And an NFT.
Right. I mean, obviously, the opportunities. We're gonna have to steal ourselves. I mean, opportunities for wickedness abound.
Yep.
But hey, have a deep roster here compiled by Jason as a direct result of the club's depraved propensities.
What do they want?
Exactly.
What do they want now?
Exactly. It's like, geez, I just woke up. No.
They want some wild stuff.
Yeah, it looks like some pervert shit here.
Yeah.
So
you gonna pick first, or am I picking first?
You pick first.
Okay, well then I pick one day in the future.
Hey, let's get it.
So, do you want to play the part of my dad?
Yeah.
And I'll be me, and then you be you, and then I'll be old me, and you be young, and then you be my child.
Yeah. It's okay. So just for the audience at home, this has a full cast. Oh, here we go. I don't know, son. The printer's just gone. It's gone.
All right. I need you to click on the start button.
God, I just physically shuddered. I don't have a start button.
Hey, Dad, the house is on fire. I'm going to have to call you back.
I hate that family tech support.
It's not that hard. Install some drivers. Click on the thing. Load the guy. You're my... Am I...
Yeah, you're the old one. I'm the young one. Yeah.
Son, I can't fuse with the core mind.
This is easy. Just feel below your right temple for the jacks.
I don't feel them.
We had the Psycerg put them in last time I was down from Colony. They have to be there.
I think they're gone.
The best part is that he can literally see them. We know.
They're on there. Yeah. He has them. They're glowing.
But that was the thing. It's just like, because I came up in these gruesome trenches. And it's just like, just to hear someone, like, they don't think that it's called a start button. I can understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it, you know, it does say start.
And it is a button.
And it is a button. And you have to have it. So.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, now that I'm thinking back on my, you know, my storied career adjacent to this, you know, demonology, I can think of a couple certain circumstances. But absolutely, like the printer shit in those older versions of Windows, oh my God.
Well, the truth is that printers haven't really gotten any better in my experience.
No, like I just have better, you know what it is? It's like, I just have better coping strategies.
Exactly.
They have not gotten better.
No, I don't think so. The thing I've been thinking about recently in terms of this comic specifically is like, will there ever be another like technological schism in generations? Like, I mean, I don't really understand like everything that's new in technology, but I can kind of get it, right?
Like, yeah.
My dad had like a radio. they thought the radio was great. And then they got like TV, and then the internet, like it just blew him away. Like he got left behind.
Well, and he really did kind of like, he really did think that that stuff was cool. It didn't help him like understand it because it's not understandable.
Yeah.
But he really did think the stuff that we were messing around with was cool. It wasn't for him, clearly.
Yeah.
But he did think it was neat.
He thought it was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. But no, it's always going to be more and more fucked up. I actually think that that part of it's just linear.
Yeah, that's true.
We just can't, you know, this is the issue. The fact that we think that there is a hard line is the index that we are fucked.
Yeah.
I think that's the clearest indication that there is coming a reckoning.
Well, it's just, you know, I mean, I think of myself as someone who likes technology and who is interested in gadgets and, yes, you know, but I have also noticed myself offloading more and more of my sort of processing power when it comes to modern technology to my son.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because they're native creatures.
He could do it faster than I could. Like I could learn how to do it.
Oh, yeah. It's a huge waste. Yeah. Some of these things, it's just a huge waste of time for me. But the truth is that you and I were always on slightly different technology gradients. In truth, Gabriel has simply inherited my job.
That's true. Yeah.
Right?
I offload it to you, and now I offload it to him.
No, do you're, I mean, listen, and then there's obviously all kinds of, like, subversions of this. I mean, we used to play Descent, but if you tried to look at the map, you know, it didn't make sense. Like using the map, like navigating a 3D map environment.
I am here to. I will die on this hill. That 3D transparent maps are useless.
Well, they're very cool in science fiction movies.
Yeah,
like that's a great place for them. But we don't have to try to figure out how to get anywhere on that hollow table. You know what I mean? But no. Honestly, this is kind of a cute version of your dad here.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, also the other thing is that this is that the name of the song. Hang on a second. Yeah. That the strip "One Day in the Future" is actually a Pond song, and so I would be surprised if the song text down at the bottom. Yep, exactly. The song text down at the bottom of that particular strip is the lyric is a slice of lyrics from the Pond song "One Day in the Future." So
back in the day,
if you want to be sad, you know, that song is available to you. You know, you can listen to it at any time. God, and look at this. When I go down one day in the future, it says, first, our newest comic strip has been made available with a strip where Gabriel performs help desk functions for his own father. Penny Arcade has become a twisted hybrid of the foul PvP online and the inscrutable Iliad's user-friendly. It's hard not to believe that this sort of thing doesn't presage our final days. At long last, the onrushing darkness, the ignominious end.
So, I mean, we've basically been doing this for a long time.
Well, the main point I'm actually trying to make
is
that, and I don't know why this was, earlier today, I looked up user-friendly.
Really?
Yeah.
To what end?
Well, just to see if it was there.
Is it?
No.
Oh.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's gone. And not even like in a memorial context. You know what I mean?
The site is gone?
I mean, it's obliterated. I don't simply mean that it's no longer being produced. I mean, it's as though it's completely gone. You know, people from the forums, you know, they have their own forum that they take advantage of. And that community was always largely forum oriented. There was always a thread like right underneath.
Oh, yeah.
Each panel. It was back from the /. Sort of era, exactly. Right? But I was just surprised. I was surprised to see that there wasn't even a headstone to mark its passing. You know what I mean? Like that's something that I think is probably worth thinking. You know, not
that's
thinking
gruesome. About.
Not on this podcast, of course, but that would have been the archive, and user friendly was part of a vanguard of a type of work that, you know, really didn't exist. I mean, arguably it, you know, he put out like one of the first like animations based on a internet native IP.
Yeah.
In Canada.
He went public, didn't he?
This is what I was about to say. In Canada, this motherfucker became a publicly traded entity off of a website and a web comic.
Yeah.
Like that. Those are noteworthy things. And if I go to that URL, I should have some sense. Like if I find a link to it somewhere, I should have some sense. There should at least be a few words.
But who would write them and who would pay to maintain that?
Exactly. Exactly. I'm saying that this is a peculiarity of internet native work. You know, and I don't know. I'm just saying we need to have a way better fucking answer than this guy.
Than the Wayback Machine?
Well, yeah, than the Wayback Machine or just not, you know, nothing.
Nothing. Yeah.
There's got to be some way to do it. I mean, bare minimum, you know, there has to be like a 7-zip or something of the images. Obviously, that would be a very large file. There's got to be some way to get this stuff. I'd hate to think that. It just feels wrong. It just feels wrong to me.
Well, at some point in like another decade, maybe, you know, some college student will get a bug up their ass to track down the origins of webcomics.
Yeah.
And they'll make a documentary.
No, they're going to find me at my mountain retreat.
Yeah, some kind of VR doc.
I told you, I don't want to do none of your goddamn interviews.
I ain't gonna talk to you.
Ain't nobody out there wants to hear what an old dinosaur like me has to say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's like my
feeling. And obviously, nothing. I want nothing more than to tell the entire.
I hope he comes to me. Yeah,
I have to. You have to keep up appearances. Like,
I hope he comes to me before you, because I got some shit to say.
I got some crazy shit, and it's about you. All right, here. So that is one day in the future, requested by Jacob Skounarek. Hmm. Although I strongly suspect that is. Not pronounced correctly.
I think it's probably Jakok Skowronek.
I specifically, and I think scrupulously, avoided Jakok.
What's wrong with Jakok?
I just, the intensity of the cock at the end of the name, I think.
But we don't know what nationality this is. Like, you don't want to be laughing at, like, their name. Maybe that's, like, a proud name. Jakok.
My guess is no. But why don't I bring this one up here? Bono Trask Time Squeezer.
Oh, I know that one.
Now, I will be Bono Trask Time Squeezer, and then you can be the other person who is in.
I'll be the McDonald's lady?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I'll also be the sound effect of Bono Trask Time Squeezer metamorphing into this plane.
Okay.
All right?
Yep, do it.
Yow. In my time, your hand breakfasts have passed from history into legend. Give me your McGriddle. I assume gold will suffice.
We stopped serving breakfast 4 minutes ago. You could, like, warp to tomorrow.
The device only goes backwards. No matter. Time is my plaything. I will talk my chronoballast in such a way as to... God damn it! That's wait. The best part about his suit, you know, even at the time, it never really occurred to me that he's like, that's the knob is on his little vest there is basically where a nipple would be.
Yeah, he's just kind of diddling himself. Know
this, yeah, but yeah, it's like this would be such an embarrassing device to use in public.
Yeah, and he has to wear like a condom underneath it, like a whole rubber suit.
This is so funny. It never even occurred to me. Like, I didn't even think about, like, the world building that you had done here. I assume that's to protect him from time rays?
Probably, yeah.
We can only guess. But in the last panel, he's very unhappy because he is now in the Precambrian period or something.
Precambrian? Is that what they call it now?
Maybe. I'm going to get in trouble. Anyway, there's a dinosaur there. Maybe Precambrian. Maybe it could be Cambrian, you know?
Might be post-Cambrian.
Listen, it's not for me to say. I'm not.
It might be Kirk Cambrian.
It might be. It might be. It could be Cambrian Crow.
It could be.
But essentially, the McGriddle, there's a lot to like here. I actually really like the McDonald's lady is rendered with a lot more affection than a side character need to be rendered with. Like, it's actually, she's pretty robust, I think.
Are you talking about her bosom?
No. No. I just mean the whole thing. Like, she's her. I mean, if I saw this character again, like, she's clearly the result of a lot of thought.
Yeah, I tried to think about who she is. She's got a little nose piercing. I guess she's fun.
Yeah, she is fun. She's dialed in. But I love the idea that it's just he's worked so hard to get it going. But it's just like, it's very difficult. Time travel is very difficult.
Long remember. Story short. Why we came up with Bono Trask.
Oh, don't worry.
Gabriel's fully actual dreams. Oh, it was a dream I had?
Yeah, because you read a ton. You read a ton of sci-fi. Like,
I do.
And a lot of it is, and not necessarily the sci-fi that people are always talking about. Like,
and not necessarily all of it. A lot of times I don't finish the book.
Sometimes in the manner of a Whitman sampler.
Yeah.
A couple strategically chosen nuts and chewies are consumed, and then the rest are decanted.
Yeah.
So this was some crazy dream that you had.
I do remember I read a book called The Accidental Time Traveler that had an incredible hook in it where a guy develops a time machine that jumps him forward in time, but each jump is like incrementally larger than the last one. And that
I was going to ask you about this very same thing, actually.
And like mathematically, that those increments get big quick, you know, where the first one might only be a couple seconds and then you're talking in minutes and then maybe outright. And eventually, like the people who are in the world are able to like calculate where he's going to come in at. They start reading, like figure out the math behind it. It's super interesting. But I love time travel stuff. I don't know why we haven't used Bono Trask again.
Bono Trask is ready to go. Now I want to use this character again. I mean, I said much the same thing at the time in 2011 to re-enter the time files of Bono Trask, even though the workings of his device would almost certainly preclude it. Then I remembered that it was a strip about time travel, a genre where grievous narrative sins are expected and even encouraged. I've generated no less than three distinct scenarios to shape the inevitable return. I've included exclamation points to indicate my joy in their construction.
I think number one here works pretty well, actually.
Yeah, once you go far back enough, time just starts over, exclamation point. Or the travelator can bounce off of resplendent, that is to say, dodecahedral chronofractals, exclamation
no, I don't like that point. One.
Or time fluids, question mark? I mean, I
that's listen. Not bad. I know that I would have to like draw a resplendent dodecahedral chronofractal, and I don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
So yeah. I think that number one is where we should go.
Yeah, well, I like this one. This one doesn't require much. I don't got to do, you know, much different stuff.
Yeah.
On that one. Now, would you like to choose a final strip for this, our last podcast before you leave to become a
Kermit the Frog
puppet impersonator?
I mean, I don't have the puppet. So,
not yet. So it's a work in progress, obviously.
So got some work to do. All right, I pick Holy Hedron.
Ooh, another Hedron. Oh, first of all, Bono Trask Time Squeezer was requested by Roussad.
Oh, and Holy Hadron, who knows, is requested by It's Shankly.
Yeah.
It's Shankly.
It's Shankly. All right. Now, what's next?
The comic, I guess. I'll play Gabe.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll play Jesus.
Oh, great.
So you just have to be you.
I can't wait. Dude, what a cool era for art.
Yeah. I know the novelty dice thing is kind of overblown, but I couldn't help it. I spent the money. I got the mammoth tusk dice. That's funny. I remember mammoths. My dice is hewn from the wood of my cross. And that's not rosewood. It's stained red from the blood I shed for your sins. I only use it for really important roles.
This is Tycho. I decided to go fully custom with mine. I have a big sack of different dog heads that I painted numbers on. Also, all of your dogs are dead.
Also, all of your dogs
are dead. What the fuck kind
of
mood?
How many dogs did they have?
What the fuck kind of mood were we in?
That's a weird mood, man. I mean, I remember at the time that I think that somebody had like made some dice out of a mammoth tusk. I think panel was legit.
That is correct. Let's see.
But just in general, at the time, you know, crazy dice. It's like, oh, I want my dice carved from a meteorite. You know, like the.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was a link there to Artisan Dice.
Oh, yeah.
Who had, you know, woolly mammoth bones.
Bones.
Bones. And, you know, and they did make some dice out of them. But of course, they have lots of other dice that aren't made out of ancient beasts.
Yeah, I don't know if that's bad to do to mammoths and their bones. Is it disrespectful?
It's just the bones. I mean, it's just.
But do we have enough of that? I mean, to me, I always thought of like fossils is kind of a big deal.
Well, but what do you want to do with it?
It belongs in a museum.
It belongs in a museum.
I don't know. I mean.
Yeah. No, it's true.
I feel like mammoth bones. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe mammoth bones are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, they're just laying around. I had to brush a couple off of my desk here just to get to this podcast.
I just scrape them off my car window.
They broke into 1,000 pieces. But the first paragraph of the post that accompanied that is me talking about Jesus Christ. When I was a child, my mother told me that woolly mammoths weren't real and that the devil or God, I can't remember, had placed tusks and dinosaur bones or whatever to test the faithful. So now that people are making dice from these things, I don't know if my mom was wrong or if Satan is just very committed to the joke. Like,
yeah, I had never heard that one until you told me.
What a fucking weird thing to tell a child.
That your God is a tricksome God?
Well, yeah, it's like I pulled the wrong message from that. You know, yeah. I'm fresh off fucking Job, and she's like, oh yeah, here's the other thing. That God made the world into an escape room, and it's got a lot of fun tricks and traps. to
get caught in.
Yeah, think of them as intellectual shoals that you're gonna have to spend the rest of your life puzzling out.
And he's watching from behind a two-way mirror.
He knows. And he knows. Yeah, exactly. Except his two-way mirror is the sky. And he can look down and he knows all the shit you're doing. You're doing some shit. It's just like, that's, first of all, yeah, that's a weird thing to say. But I would say that, you know, I think maybe at the time I thought, the dice kink was probably going to be consigned to history. But I think dice kink has only expanded.
Yeah, I definitely think that I like dice probably more than is okay. Like, then yeah, you should just like dice. I don't even play that much anymore. I still love dice.
Oh yeah. It's like once I figured out that, like, it's like, I can't buy these dice for myself.
Yes. Right.
I already have a lot of dice, and you know, I was even running like a game on the stream and shit. I mean, theoretically I could have used dice.
You need them.
Yeah. You have to roll them all the time. Even if you lie about what the dice say. You still have to put a show on, you know, for the gathered throng.
Yeah.
But man, oh man, I can definitely buy an unlimited number of dice for my friends. And that's how it works for the youth, in my family. Like, if I come back from a show, I've got dice.
Yeah.
I have got dice for these children to enjoy.
Yeah. It's interesting. I don't like I don't get jewelry. I'm not adorned in jewels.
Yeah. Jewels.
Jewels. I don't do that, but I do have some very fancy dice. I guess there has to be a utility for me to want a gemstone.
Yeah. Well, it's like for me, I try, generally speaking, I mean, I guess I have a couple tattoos, but in terms of like my raiment, I try to be, you know, relatively dialed down. It's like glasses are about the extent,
yeah,
of what I'm willing to allow myself. And that's only because I need them to live.
Yeah, but you have those gold and diamond dice that you got that you're on that chain. Yeah, I've seen you wear them.
Well, yeah. And it's like, do I have to crawl on my hands and knees? Yeah. Is the weight of the gold...
Hundreds.
Is the weight of the gold and gems, like, is it hard for my body? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's super hard. Actually.
I've seen how it's wrecked your back.
Oh yeah, it's transformed. It's essentially turned my bones, some really vital bones, into paste.
These frozen bones.
These frozen bones, gathered throng. Thank you so much for enduring us for the last half hour.
Goodbye, everybody.
On this, you're just dusting it off.
That wasn't great, actually.
On this, our final. You know what? Listen. Let's do one more and see how it goes.
It's not easy being green.
I can only do that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a short show.
Yeah, I think so. Well, here, listen, we'll leave the mics on. You can come back and do another podcast whenever you want.
Okay.